Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? Human factors can be a bit confusing to many people, and there is a really good reason for that. Ergonomics, or human factors, is the scientific discipline concerned with the understanding of interactions among humans and other elements of a system, and the profession that applies theory, principles, data, and methods to design in order to optimize human well-being and overall system performance. This is the definition of human factors from the International Ergonomics Association. Human factors covers everything from how you press buttons on a controller through to the dimensions of a culture and how people think others should behave when someone senior says something. Power distance. Stephen Shorrock wrote a great series of four blogs recently which highlighted the fact that human factors could be considered to be made up four parts which overlap to some degree. There's a link to these in the show notes. And it is the lack of this clarity which can cause confusion as to what human factors actually means. It can be broken down into four parts. Number one, the need to take into account the human factor. This looks at the individual and their own variability, primarily in terms of behaviour, the bad apple in the barrel and the want to fix the human. Two, the factors of humans, which addresses cognitive function, psychology, biases, heuristics, errors, anthropometrics, learning and teaching styles, and stress and fatigue. Three, the factors affecting humans, which include organizational and cultural frameworks, work design, mental models, and decision making. And four, the factors describing how humans operate within a socio-technical system as they interact with each other and technological systems. This interaction is sometimes referred to as work, as is the area I am really interested in. Differences between work as imagined and work as done are where risk exists. More about this in a moment. Even though human factors standards exist across the spectrum of human factors and human performance, as far as I know, none are formally applied within the diving industry. I do know there is almost no research looking at human factors in sports diving. What has been written is mainly about cognitive functions and effects of the hyperbaric environment, for example, narcosis. One subset of human factors which I personally focus on is non-technical skills, NTS, or crew resource management, CRM training. I have done this because NTS or CRM skills are so important when dealing with dynamic and ambiguous environments, such as you get when diving, and yet no training agency provides specific NTS or CRM training, although certain topics are covered at a cursory level. The reason being is that the key aim of NTS or CRM programs is to improve the shared mental model of the team to make better decisions. To be most effective, the skills need to be used in a safe environment. Decisions are informed by situational awareness, and situational awareness is improved by effective communications between the team, the skipper or dive manager, and the equipment, computers or controllers, and teamwork supports all of the above. However, stress and fatigue can have a critical effect on the performance of the team and the decisions they make, and so their effects must be clearly understood. Something to consider is that CRM in aviation is not just applied to multi-crew aircraft. It is applied to single pilot operations too because of external interactions with air traffic control and other aircraft. Therefore, CRM can be applied to solo divers too. Just culture and safety culture are heavily influenced by both the group and organizational level and also above, at the societal level. It appears that much of the behaviour relating to a just culture in diving is heavily influenced by a fear of litigation. One way of improving diving safety and human performance is through incident reporting systems. However, in the sport diving domain, these are immature at both local and global levels. There is a lack of coherence and the sharing of detailed data is limited due to privacy concerns. There is no formal taxonomy for incident definitions or when conducting analysis across the multiple datasets which are located around the globe. Something that should be considered by everyone in diving, especially at the organizational level, is the concept of work as imagined and work as done if safety and performance are to be improved. Risk exists in the gap between work as imagined and work as done. Work in this context relates to what is done, and worker could easily be replaced by diver or instructor. Work as imagined is how a system designer thinks or imagines the system should happen, and is context rich and multidimensional in nature because it is inside the head of the designer. Work as prescribed is the physical representation of this system in rules, procedures, and process. However, language is linear and interactions are difficult to accurately describe due to complexity and messiness in the real world. Rules and training cannot cover every eventuality and therefore gaps exist. Work as disclosed is what a worker in the system will describe what happens. If there is limited psychological safety or the transgression of rules is punished, the account will be closer to work as prescribed than work as done. Work as done is what actually happens on the job and takes into account all the pressures which need to be managed: time, money, people, goals, etc. There are always gaps between work as imagined and work as done. Understanding of NTS or CRM can help reduce these gaps. Summary. Human factors have an influence on all parts of the diving community and domain, including the equipment manufacturer working out how the diver interacts with the controllers on their rebreather to minimize confusion and mental workload, the instructor trying to manage risk with three novice divers who all appear to be viewing the world differently, the surveying cave diver who needs to keep focused on both the research task at hand, but also their location in the cave, and their proximity to their buddy, the agency course designer trying to work out how to create thinking divers so they manage risk effectively and can fail safely once they graduate from their class, the safety organizations trying to work out why accidents and incidents are occurring by having a robust taxonomy. What I am trying to do with my programs is promote the notion that fallibility is normal, and deviations or violations are likely without effective leadership, standards, and quality. I also want to highlight the interdependence of technical skills and non-technical skills, and teach that risk is a relative term, especially in a sport where there are few rules and almost no regulation. Therefore, safety is a complex topic to understand given the goals which need to be balanced. I'm attempting to help teams develop effective, standardized pre-dive briefs to include goals and definition or measure of success. Help highlight that for checklists to comply with human factors principles, they should have 5 to 8 items and be built on training and not be used to make up for a lack of skills-based decision-making. Through high-end simulations, I'm teaching task and performance-centered debriefs to facilitate lessons learned and not just lessons identified. Finally, I'm trying to develop divers so that they can give and receive feedback and not be defensive, and provide instructors with materials which they can insert into their own training programs to get these important concepts across. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.